Om Shanti. So I have a question for you. Do you want to be successful? Hands up those who want to be successful. Be careful. Okay, what do you want to be successful in? In everything. Okay, that's a tall order. In Brahmin life, what else? In relationships? Is that what was said? Yeah? What else? In yoga? What else? In thinking, in becoming complete? In the relationship with Baba? Peace, love, happiness. Maybe there's one aim that we can keep that will make all of this happen. Soul conscious. Equal to Baba. The success in becoming Bap Saman. You know, I think our relationship with success is a little bit dysfunctional. I mean, I can only speak for myself as I was reflecting on my understanding and experience of success and how that's changed in Brahmin life, in life, period. And when you look up the word success, it has links to the word outcome, achievement. It's always something out there that I'm running to get. Right? And yet, in Baba's world, the word for success in Hindi is safalta. And it's a very beautiful word because it has a double meaning. It's not so much the meaning of success as an outcome, but success as the means, as the way in which I apply myself in every moment. So for example, now, in every interaction, how successful am I in being present, in listening, in having a gentle nature, in being peaceful? It's my personal application at every moment. And so, the definition of safalta changes the paradigm of success. It's no longer something that is outside me that I have to achieve. It's not an outcome, but success is a means of earning an income. And that's easier to do. You know, in most of our, I suppose, societies and cultures, but especially my own experience in the Bharat culture, is that the reward is given greater importance than the effort. So many children, and especially young people, because that's a field that I'm also involved in, many young people grow up with a huge degree of pressure. A pressure to achieve, a pressure to strive, because you have to get good grades, you have to pass, you have to certificate, and so there's a high degree of anxiety that souls live in, because more importance is given to the reward. And yet, how much is the effort valued? So when I've made effort for something, have I appreciated the effort I've made? And I think sometimes in Brahmin life, if we end up looking at the destination too much and don't count the attainments that we've received, appreciate the transformation that has happened, then our definition of success is very one-sided. It's very limited. And your complete stage might just actually already be in front of you. But because the soul hasn't spent time counting attainments, listing its attainments, appreciating what it has and how much it's changed, then always there's a gap and there's a feeling that your complete stage is far away. And that gap is filled with thoughts of how long will it take to get there? Will I get there? When will it happen? And it's a little bit like, it's such an illusion, you know, focusing on the reward too much, because it's a little bit like you might be just 100 meters from your destination. Not far. But in between, there's lots and lots of traffic. There's lots of cars. So you can see your destination, but you feel far away from it. And the reason why the soul feels far away from it is all the extra thoughts and the weak thoughts, the thoughts of self-doubt that the soul generates about itself in the process. So when I started thinking about the subject of success, I had to change it in my head from achieving an outcome to starting to earn an income. And that's in my hands. Whatever the outcome is, that will reveal itself. But it's in my hands to earn an income, to use whatever I have to its best, to use whatever I have in a worthwhile way. Because that's the other definition of safal. You know, in Hindi, kuch cheez ko safal karna means to use it in a worthwhile way. And so when I translate that in my head and I ask myself the question, right now in my Brahmin life, to what extent am I using my thoughts in a fruitful way? To what extent am I using my words in a fruitful way? And to what extent am I using my activity, my actions and energy in a fruitful way? And for me, this opens up a bigger world to play in. Because if I'm just concentrated on a destination, then I suddenly become very narrow-minded. Yeah? And I lose the ability to stay open, available, and present in the moment to receive from Baba. Because I was thinking about, when is it that I would become successful in something? When do you actually become successful in something? When you're determined, when you're satisfied, perhaps satisfaction is the outcome of success. But even before determination, you need this thing so that you can stay determined. It's within your grasp. You have courage. This thing will bring you courage and determination. An aim, faith, the will, that Baba is with you. All this is encompassed in this word. Love. When you love what you do, you will excel in it. Simple. Really, it's all it takes. You may have the skill, you may not have the skill, but that information will come to you. But deep inside, when you've awoken a deep, pure love to become pure, to become humble, to become virtuous, you will start to excel in that field. Because on the basis of love, you'll be able to sustain a degree of motivation and determination. And on the basis of love, you'll be able to tolerate what comes in the way. Right? You know, I was always amazed when I used to work with, you know, the youth, and then I'd get the families, and especially the mothers coming to me, and the mothers would say, "My child is the most unique child in the world." And then another mother would come and say, "My child is so special, you've never seen a child like this before." And then another mother would come and say, and she would say the same thing, "This is such a wonderful child, so many special qualities." And I would think, how is it that every single mother thinks that their child is the most special in the world? And I realized very deeply that when there's a very deep sense of love for something or someone, there's a sense of specialness in the relationship. You know, there's a sense of uniqueness and specialness. But that love makes the mother tolerate the packaging of the child. Whatever the child is, whatever the extra imperfections are in the child, the mother can only see the beauty of the child. And so there's something about on this journey of becoming successful in becoming Bap Saman. How much love do I have for becoming Bap Saman? This isn't a strategy. It's not a business plan. You can't just strategize your way to a destination. Because 70% of the energy that drives transformation is love. Love draws Baba's help. Love fuels courage. And so, you know, when I think of Avyakt Bap Dada, and I admire Avyakt Bap Dada a lot. You know, when we think about love, we all want to fall in love. We want to fall in love, and we want someone to fall in love with us, right? If you're really honest, that's the bottom line. Yeah, that's it. You want to love, and you want to be loved. And sometimes, in the body conscious paradigm, we become impressed. We become impressed with people's qualities, or we want to impress. And so we enter a game of not pure love, but, you know, we hold on to the branches, but we lose connection with the seed. But am I impressed with Bap Dada? You know, when you look at Bap Dada's dharana, I think to myself, here is the purest being in the world coming into a completely imperfect and impure world. And he has kids that are expressing in very imperfect and impure ways. Yeah, we're not perfect. We still make mistakes. And yet, Bap Dada's response to the children, it's very loving, but very truthful. It's very knowledgeful. And he injects a degree of power. And I think to myself that Baba's not outcome conscious. You know, Baba's come to establish heaven. And he doesn't say to the kids, "Look, I've come to establish heaven. Why aren't you behaving yourselves? I'm giving you knowledge every day. I'm telling you what to do every day. And I'm here to establish heaven. I've only got a short time left to establish heaven. So hurry up and become perfect." And yet, you don't feel any of that from Bap Dada. He comes. He sits. He's so relaxed. Connects with the children. And he gives three things: knowledge, love, and power. This is what we receive from Bap Dada. And I feel that it's this energy that Bap Dada gives that makes Bap Dada so successful in being God and influencing us. You know? Because he knows his job. He just comes down. He gives clear knowledge, he gives love, and he gives power. And for me, you know, if you're trying to be successful in terms of an outcome in your life, you know, so what is success in Brahmin life? Are you trying to be like Daddy Jenki? Trying to be like Sister Jenti? Trying to be like your center in charge? Trying to be like the instrument? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Because what is the perfect Brahmin? Does anybody here know the perfect Brahmin? Is there a perfect Brahmin? Yes, it's you. It's you. I remember asking the three daddies, Daddyji, Daddy Janki, and Daddy Gulzar this question. Why does Baba love you? Yeah, I was really interested. And so it started off in an interview with Daddyji. And I said, Daddy, just why does Baba love you so much? And she stopped. She looked at me and gave me straight drishti. And she said, because Daddy's eyes have never become trapped in anyone or anything. And in Daddy's life, there is only one Baba and none other. Yeah? And I like that answer. Because, you know, sometimes we say we love Baba, if you want to love God, but becoming Bab Saman is a different story. Because, you know, that love means my eyes don't stray from the destination. And sometimes our eyes entertain other things. You know, how many times have you let your eyes rest on something? A little bit longer than you should. Yeah? It's very subtle. Then I asked Daddy Gulzar the question. Why does Baba love you? What do you think she would have replied? Because? Not because I love him. That's a general answer. She said that because Baba is in my sanskaras and Baba is my sansar, my world. Yeah? It rhymes in Hindi. Sanskar and sansar. And really for Daddy Gulzar, there is nothing but Baba in her world. She has completely surrendered the intellect to Baba. No thoughts for herself at all. Nothing. There's only Baba. And that's why when you come close to Daddy, you feel Baba's presence so powerfully. And then I asked Daddy Jenki the question, why does Baba love you? And what do you think Daddy would have replied? You all know Daddy Jenki. Sorry? I do Baba's work. Close. I show Baba to the world. I'm Baba's child, but that applies for all of us. Yeah? Because Daddy has made every direction and Srimat of Baba's practical. There is not a single direction in Baba's Murali that she hasn't made practical. Total obedience to Baba's directions. Now, three different daddies, three different answers. Now, I ask you the question, do you know why Baba loves you? Because this is the basis of your success in Brahmin life. When you know why Baba has chosen you, loves you, and how Baba is using you. Because then you just do more of that, right? You're not concerned with anybody else's part. You don't want to play anybody else's part because you're so busy enjoying playing your own part. Because you can see the value of your own part. I think this is, for me, a big part of making success my birthright, the recognition of my value to Baba. Yeah. Sometimes in our relationship with Baba, it's a one-way street. I love you, I love you, I love you. But what am I receiving from Baba? And what is it that whatever I've received, what has that made me into? Sometimes you have to sit and really write that down as a detached observer to get a clear picture of that. You can't be ignorant of your value to God, because if you're ignorant of your value to God, then you'll suffer from self-doubt, you'll suffer from weak thoughts, you won't have faith in the intellect, you won't be able to trust the benevolence of your thoughts, the goodness of your thoughts. So I feel the foundation of success is self-value. And this is my work. Because Baba can give me so much love, but I have to translate that love into deep value for the self and for my part. Right? And then, it's like magic happens. When you recognize your value and you're connected with your value, then everything you touch, you start to inject value in it. Yeah? This is how it works. It's like a drop of essential oil. You're so concentrated in your value for yourself that you know how to apply yourself. And you apply yourself with that grace, with that dignity, with that royalty. Because what's the success I want? The success I want is that I want to be able to respond to things with purity, with humility, with gentleness, with grace. There's so much satisfaction if you've been through a whole day and you've had a quality interaction with every person you've met. Isn't that beautiful? You get to the end of the day, and how rich and satisfied do you feel? Yeah? So a lot about success is this paradigm shift that in each moment I'm earning an income. It's an opportunity to use my values, to apply my virtues. So I don't look at what I haven't done, what I still have to do, but I'm doing it now. I'm applying it now. And you know, trusting the drama is extremely important, because even more powerful than God is drama. You know, Baba comes when it's his time. He can't come before his time. Cannot. And in the game plan of the drama, my story of perfection is fixed. So everything the drama puts in front of me is part of my journey that's taking me to my destination of perfection. Can I trust that? Or have I created preferences in my story? I like this part of my drama. I don't like this part of my drama. You know, when we talk about becoming obstacle free, what are we talking about? The obstacle is not what's happening in the drama. That's just a change. The drama's just changing. That's all. You know, for example, I just came back from a tour of Indonesia and Malaysia. And just before the tour, I had a one-day stopover in London. I was in Europe. And when I came into London, I was in London for maybe about 20 hours. And I'd already kept a suitcase packed for my Indonesia and Malaysia trip. So when I arrive at home, I find the suitcase unpacked. In fact, I find no suitcase. All the contents of the suitcase on the floor, and no suitcase. And I have 20 hours. So then I had a little bit of a thought, where's the suitcase gone? Disappeared. So then I decide, okay, let me go and get another suitcase. I get into the car, try to start the car engine, and the battery's flat. Okay? Then I have to go spend time going to look for somebody to give me a lift so I can get a suitcase. Then after that, I go into the office to do some work, and by this time it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I carry my office. My office is a mobile office, so I carry a pen drive with all my documents in it, all my work in it. So I sit down in front of the computer, and I put my pen drive in, and suddenly the message comes up, flash drive is corrupted. Do you want to format the disk? uh-oh. So then I go marching straight to the IT team with my flash drive. Say, help, I need documents, I've got to do some work, I haven't got much time. They spend 3 hours trying all kinds of methods to retrieve the information. After 3 hours, the brother says to me, sister, consider it dead. Again, I looked at him, and just for a split second of a moment, I felt like I was attending a funeral. And then I went back to the desk, 6:30 in the evening, I started some work. And I carried on till 9 o'clock. And then I thought, next morning, I have to leave early, I have to go home, prepare my food, repack a bag. So I went to the kitchen to pick up some food, and I thought it would be nice to make some sandwiches and a salad. So I was holding a bottle of olives. And you know how olives come in a solution, right? And then somebody was talking to me. I'm walking with the bottle of olives, and I drop it. And all the water get completely drenched from head to toe with olive water. So I'm standing at 9:30 at night in the kitchen, having achieved very little in the day of my plan, completely soaked in olive water. I walk home, a very sorry sight. And, you know, I have to pack my suitcase, sort things out, and 12 o'clock I get to bed. Now, was I successful in achieving anything I wanted that day? Absolutely not. But was I successful in staying light about it? Absolutely yes. That was a test. And I remember the next day waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, feeling so light. And I sat in front of Baba and I said, why am I feeling so light? You know, I've had like very few hours of sleep. I've had one thing after another. And any normal person would start thinking, why is this happening to me? Maybe there's some bad omens, right? All this kind of stuff that starts when you can't accept the changes in the drama. Because everything that happened in the drama was just a change. Right? Whether I liked the change or I didn't like the change, that was my issue. But it was just a change. And I had this feeling from Baba, the child, it was settlement. I was lucky to settle it in small ways like this. Yeah. So whatever it was, don't worry about it. Be grateful that whatever happened, things got settled. And I thought, well, if it settlement means losing a suitcase, losing my flash drive and pen drive and 5 years worth of work, you know, dropping a bottle of olives, no problem, I can handle that. I don't mind if my settlement is going to happen like that. I'm very happy it gets settled in small ways like this. And so there was just this very deep peace when you sit with Baba that you start to see drama differently. It's not doom and gloom because it's just a change. My suitcase was there when I left. When I arrived, it wasn't there. It's just a change. The obstacle is my reaction to that change. That's the obstacle. So when Baba's talking about becoming obstacle-free, right, becoming successfully obstacle-free, he's talking about becoming reaction-free to any event that happens in the drama. Now this requires a lot of strength because we tend to interpret what happens to us in the drama in a personal way. We take it personally, and that's the first mistake we make. Absolutely the first mistake we make. Yeah. I don't know whether it was Brother Ken or somebody who was sharing this story about a village in India. You know, these really poor villages in India. And often because the villages are poor, the young people in the villages go out into the cities to get jobs and get educated. So in one particular village, there was a young man that went to one of the cities, and he earned a good income, and he brought back a gift for the village. And the gift he brought back was a Samsung TV, right? So, you know, a small village, big Samsung TV. It's a big thing, right? And he brought a copy of the latest Bollywood film. Now, you all know Bollywood stories, right? The script line is very simple. Hero meets heroine. They fall in love. They're about to get married, and a villain comes along. He beats up the hero. The hero is nearly dying, and then suddenly comes to life, beats up the villain, and gets married to the heroine. This is the Bollywood film, right? So he put it on, and all the people in the village came round to have a look. So when it comes to the scene where the villain is beating up the hero, right? Guess what the villagers do? They pick up their shoes and sticks and stones and try throwing it at the television screen. Yeah, because they're trying to make the villain stop, right? Now, it may sound funny, but how much of this do we do in everyday life? It's a movie. We know the ending of the movie, right? And yet we let ourselves get caught up in the movie. Yeah? So, you know, there is a story going on around you. Be careful not to make a story here about that story. That's the obstacle. Because when you start creating your inner story about the outer story, then you can't see what Baba is making you into. You can't see what drama is making you into. Because you're constantly reacting to the story and creating your own little story in here. And then you ask Baba lots of questions. How can I become this? How can I do this? And Baba goes, let go of your story. I'm telling you your story. Yeah. Because a deep connection, you know, with success as birthright. This word birthright is very important. How do you know you have a right to something? We all want rights. Yeah, in the world, they hold wars and political rallies to claim rights. How do you know you have a right to something? When what? When you may use it freely, yeah. When you're connected. You're what? You're worthy of it. Yes. But how do you know that you have a right to something? It'll come to you. It's something that you attain easily and automatically. You know, it's a right. You don't have to push for it. If you're pushing for something, understand it's not coming from a place of having a right. Yeah? Because somebody who feels things are coming easily and automatically, it's like they're working with their birthright. And they don't need to think. It's like you can see the outcome of that situation very clearly. And then you're just going through the motions to make it happen practically. So there's no question in your mind whether it's going to happen or not, because you can see that it's going to happen. This is success, right? There's this feeling that it's going to happen. You can see it, and you just have to go through the motions to make it happen. But you never lose sight of having seen the outcome. That's success. Then there's a difference between being successful and being lucky, right? So luck has more to do with understanding and knowing that this is going to work. So I say, yes, I understand this, and yes, I know it'll happen, and it'll happen with Baba's help. Right? So there's a little margin, there's an understanding about the situation, but you can't always see the, see the success of the situation in advance. Yeah? You just understand and you feel that with Baba's help, this can happen. That's luck. And then there's hope, which is the third category, where you feel, I'm not quite sure, but I hope this will happen. Right? And in a state of hope, you actually fluctuate a lot. Yeah? Because you get trapped in things. Trapped in your own weak thoughts, trapped in your own self-doubt. And so you live in hope, and it actually creates a subtle anxiety in the soul. You know, because you're not ever working with 100%, a sense of 100% clarity. Because determination has got very little to do with force. Determination comes from clarity. That I see that this thing is accomplished. I don't have any questions about it. I'm just taking the steps to accomplish it. And there's no question in my mind about it. Yeah? And so I apply myself in a consistent and determined way. Now, here's the thing. When we come to Madhuban, it's easy to practice being successful, right? Isn't it great? It's like in small, small ways, like I'll wake up in the afternoon after my afternoon rest and I'll think, Baba, I want popcorn for tea. And then I'll go for tea and there's popcorn there, right? Success! Or, Baba, you know, I'd like to speak to this person. And then 5 minutes later, that person walks by. Right? It's amazing. This is Madhuban. Why? Because the energy in Madhuban is Gyanin Yoga. We're on the same frequency. Right? The same wavelength. So the information flows easily. But then the question is it that my thought of wanting popcorn made the popcorn happen at tea? Or was popcorn already fixed at 4 o'clock? And I just picked up the thought that there was going to be popcorn at 4 o'clock. And I think that for me it's more about the latter. You know, it's more about being so relaxed inside that you're tuned in to what is coming in the drama. That's why you can have faith in the drama. Because it's coming. It's coming. So relax. You know, many times Daddy says to us, don't think. Right? And I used to have problems with this statement. Because sometimes you have to plan and you have to think through things. And after a while, I came to understand that what she meant by don't think is don't take ownership of what you're doing in the drama. You're just picking up a signal and responding to it. Don't own what you're doing because it's not yours. You didn't make it happen. You're just responding to what's in the drama. Drama put something in you. Baba's power made it happen. And I remember a particular meeting I was translating for. There was a sheikh from Kuwait who had come to see Daddy. Businessman or something like this would come to see Daddy. And he said to Daddy, next week I have to make a presentation to the Sultan or to some emir, right? And I have a team that's project managing, that's preparing the plan. How can you say don't think? Because I have a responsibility to make sure that the presentation goes well. And I liked Daddy's answer very much. Because she said, no. She says, of course you have to apply yourself, give the support that the team requires. But she said, Daddy, in such situation, keeps herself free from two thoughts. One, I have to do this. Right? You know, sometimes we have to do things, but then we generate a few extra thoughts. I have to do this. Yeah? And the second thought is, I have done this. And I really like this because she said, Daddy keeps herself free from these two kinds of thoughts. so that whatever is meant to happen in the drama happens easily and naturally. I don't stick to what I do, and what I do doesn't stick to me. As soon as I finished, it's gone in the ocean of the drama, in the ocean of Baba, like nothing happened. But the moment I think I have to do this, and it's a thought of heaviness, or after I've done it, oh, I've done this, then very subtle arrogance creeps in, and heaviness creeps in. And that's what I carry into my next activity. I don't carry my value, why God loves me, my self-respect. I carry the residue of this subtle arrogance into my next activity. Do you see the difference? Yeah? When you live with value, then you're just planting seeds. You go in, do it, apply yourself, come out. Apply yourself, come out. Apply yourself, come out. You're not worried about the outcome of it in any way. And that's a real practice, to keep the self free from those thoughts of not thinking. But then there's the other side. Okay, I don't have thoughts. Maybe I don't have these thoughts. And I said one time to Daddy, but I have a lot of bhavna. I want to bring benefit to people. And my bhavna makes me think. Right? Like you have good feelings and you spontaneously, you know, so I sit in meditation and I don't have negative or wasteful thoughts, but thoughts of service. I can do this, I can do that. So I remember asking Daddy Gulzar the question. What does this mean? You know, in my meditation I don't have negative thoughts or wasteful thoughts, but I do have thoughts of wanting to bring benefit to others and you know, thoughts of service. And Daddy Gulzar came back with a very simple reply. What do you think she would have said to me? Lack of controlling power. Yeah. Part of becoming successful, soul needs to develop a lot of controlling power over the mind and intellect. You know, because what destroys our ability to be successful is subtle anxiety. I was asking Sister Mahini this yesterday, and this is what she was talking about, is that we tend to live in a state of subtle anxiety. Yeah? You know, the anxiety comes because I'm having thoughts, what I have to do, how I have to do it, what I have to prepare, what will they say. And every time I have a thought, there are neurons firing in my brain that is creating an energy in the body. And so my body, my stage, always carries a subtle level of anxiety there that doesn't allow me to experience the fruit of success. Yeah? Because there is one slogan associated with success. Greater success through less expenditure. I've got to start simplifying. If I've used 30 words to make something happen, let me see if I can do it in 10. I've got to simplify how much thoughts I put into something. You know, this whole aspect of simplifying and less of it means that I'll achieve greater success externally. Because, you know, in neuroscience, they say that your brain cannot differentiate between a real act and an imagined act. Yeah? It's the same thing for the brain. Yeah? So, if you've done it and you've experienced it, the brain says, yes, I've experienced this. But even if you imagine it in your mind, your brain thinks it's experienced it. That's why they say to people, if you want to achieve your goals, don't talk about it too much. Because when you talk about it too much, what does your brain think? You've done it. Right? Because you've spoken about it. So your brain thinks you've done it. And so when it comes to actually practically doing it, you don't have the motivational energy to do it. And many of us live in the space where we've talked about what we want so much, and the brain has been satisfied because it's talked about it, so it thinks it's done it. But in practical reality, it hasn't been accomplished. Yeah? And that's why when Daddy talks about don't think. Because when you don't think, you'll have the power to do more. You'll have the power to put into practice what Baba's saying very easily. It won't be difficult. Yeah? Because that's the success in your thoughts. Fewer thoughts, quality thoughts applied. It's really important to have some kind of discipline here. Can I do this? This is what I'm going to think about. When I'm going to think about it. And then here's the other scenario. Responsibilities are increasing every day. Yeah? Yes, our bodies are being challenged every day as well. But our responsibilities are increasing every day. And sometimes you're not in a position to say no. Yeah? You can't just delete that and say no. So how do you have to be inside so that you can stay relaxed inside and yet fulfill the duty and responsibility? And for me, it's been about experimenting with being in the moment and giving what's needed now. The drama has an agenda for me. I trust that agenda. And it will only ever give me a few extra signals in advance. It won't give me a whole week of signals in advance. Have you noticed? You know, even when you go driving somewhere, you'll get a few signals to that destination, but you won't get all the signals. You'll cross one signal, then you get another few, then another. That's how the drama works. The drama is always a step ahead of you, so it's always giving you a few extra in advance signals. That's about the extent of your planning. That's it. So you've just got to show up at that signal well. And then another signal well. And then at that signal, it gives you a few more signals. And then at the next signal, it gives you a few more signals. And in that way, you can manage your energies in a healthy way, in a paced way. But what tends to happen is that we let our intellect not tune into the drama, but be fed by our desires. So I want this to happen, and it has to happen like this. And we get trapped in the form of how something has to happen. And before you know it, you've built a whole plan in your head of how something needs to happen. And the reality is, how drama is going to make it happen is completely different. Because the only thing, as a soul, I can only hold or be in a situation is essenceful. I can only just be essenceful. I can show up with my essence. The essence of who I am. The essence of my value to Baba. The essence of my love for Baba. The essence of my purity, my good wishes for you. That's what I can show up with. And I give that, I give you my best in this moment. And then another chapter opens up. But I don't let myself get trapped in form. Because if I let myself get trapped in form, how something should look like, then somebody else will show up with another idea of how something else should look like, and then we clash. And we lose the point of what we're becoming in it. Yeah? So this whole ability of managing my energies by showing up in essence. And you know, for me, the practice of the master seed, becoming the seed, is very important. Because, you know, what is it that makes things successful? For me, love, when I love something, for myself and the task, yes. But what about for others? It's the energy of good wishes. You know, if I think of my relationship with Daddy, it's Daddy's good wishes for me that have helped me have faith in myself and ultimately achieve success in something. It's Baba's good wishes for me that have helped me have faith in myself and ultimately achieve success in something. You can't have faith in someone. What you can do is you can trust what Baba, how Baba's using them, and you can have good wishes for them. A lot of good wishes for them. Yeah? But the good wishes isn't because you want them to do something. It's not conditional. It's a real good wishes that comes from knowing and recognizing, look how Baba's using you. This is how Baba's using you. This is your value. So the good wishes come because you see another person's value to God. You know, I feel that we're at this time in the Brahmin family where we deeply need to recognize not only our value, but each other's value to God. Then we will be able to sustain our good wishes for each other. And then it's like cooperation comes shimmering. Success is just fixed. There's no question of whether it'll be successful or not. But it's an energy that just makes what is meant to happen in the drama happen easily, naturally, and automatically. Because that's my royalty, to enable something to happen like that. So I've said a lot. I'm going to stop there. Has it been helpful? Has it made sense? Yeah. Relax. We're in an impure world. Lots of things going wrong. Ravan's kingdom means something on the outside will always go wrong. Because that's Ravan's kingdom. Relax. Internally, what's my response? You know, just keep Bap Dada right there and just be like Bap Dada. It's beautiful, isn't it? Can you imagine carrying Bap Dada with you in all your situations, your workplace, your family life? Wow. You know, makes such a difference. Yeah. So we have maybe 2 minutes before meditation begins. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Do you want to take a mic? It's because of translation, and also it's being recorded.
You've talked a lot about self-value. What's the difference of this self-value to God and ego?
What's the difference between self-value and
not
ego?
Yes, it's not self-respect, that not svamans that Baba gives us, but you talked about why God loves me.
Yeah.
Yes, self-value.
You know, there's a word in Hindi, we call it nasha, intoxication. Yeah? So when I have self-value, like, you know, when you are intoxicated with your own elevated energy. Yeah, this is different to ego. Ego is a very fixed energy. You know, it's connected to position, title, I've done this. And you'll find that if you've done a task and there's been ego mixed in it, then you'll know, because very subtly you will seek acknowledgement from someone else for it. That's how you know ego's been mixed into it. Because you will seek approval. Look how much I've done. At least somebody should appreciate me. Right? At least somebody should acknowledge what I've done. This means that you've begun the task not from a place of intoxication and energy and good wishes, but from a place of subtle ego. I have done this. I have to do this. This I, it doesn't let you act with pure feelings, with elevated feelings. So, you know, when you sit in front of Baba, how do you feel? You melt. You start to feel elevated. That nasha, that intoxication rises. And that's your original self. It's like a pure pride, a quiet royal dignity, where you respectfully apply yourself to things. But you don't take ownership of anything outside. The ego wants to take ownership of something outside. Yeah? Self-respect and self-value? No. It's just a very deep state of inner intoxication about what I'm becoming. And that's why it's so important to sit in front of Baba. Because, you know, the reality is, the other aspect of success, it is an accomplishment, right? And for success is a method. If you have the method, Viddhi Siddhi, this is in Hindi, right? When you apply the methods that Baba gives you, success is guaranteed. Now in bhakti, whatever the methods, and the methods are the different principles that Baba gives us, right? The principles of purity, principles of respect, whatever those methods, the principle of soul consciousness, when we apply these methods and we become good at these methods, these become a talent, like an accomplishment, a skill, a gift that we have. And this is what we are then worshipped for in the path of devotion. Yeah? You know, people in bhakti, they have special angels for special things. Yeah, or special goddesses for special... Why? Because these souls now in Sangamyug became practiced in one of the methods that Baba was giving. So I have to look, what are the methods that Baba is giving me? And how accomplished have I become in those methods? Yeah? Because then my success is guaranteed. And you know what? The bottom line is, whatever it is in Sangam Yug that I take from Baba, that is what my bhagats will take from me from the Copper Age onwards. Yeah? And the greatest service is to be fully open to receiving from Baba. How successful have I become to receive from Baba fully? Sometimes the balance is a bit imbalanced. I want to give. But what I'm taking from Baba is just a few drops. Right? And actually, when you reverse that, and when you think of service as receiving from Baba, because automatically, whatever the soul receives from Baba, everyone that you are connected to is receiving that from you. And so the greatest service and the greatest foundation for success in Brahmin life is to increase your capacity to receive from Baba. So that you're not just receiving a little, but you let yourself receive more and more and more. And the feeling every day that you're being filled with the ocean. You know, you're going swimming in the ocean. Okay? Shall we go swimming in the ocean? Yeah? And that your success is guaranteed. So relax. Enjoy the ride. Om Shanti.